Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
What's up? Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Manny.
I'm Nick.
And today is Monday, so of course we have another installment of our James series. Today we're going to start with James Chapter 2. But before we get into that, just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Leave a rating and or review on iTunes if you feel it. That's always helpful to us, but it also helps you guys so that you don't miss out on any content when it drops. All right, so Nick, we're heading into a new chapter of James. We just had some great podcast episodes on James Chapter 1. So you want to kind of give us a little bit of a background on it?
Yeah, no. So, man, we're moving nice and slow through this scriptures, and I love it. So hopefully y'all who are listening and getting stuff out of this as well. And real quick plug. Don't forget to send us questions, either voice memos or emails to nick@avertchurch.com. I'm going to call it Q&R because I don't want to claim that I have all the answers or that you have all the answers. So I would much rather do questions and responses.
Yes.
Because I don't want people like, well, Nick and Manny have all the answers, because I think I can speak for the both of us. We don't have all the answers.
We definitely don't. No. The Bible.
That's it.
Has all the
it's
answers.
All right there.
Yes.
So, yeah, don't forget about that. So, anyway, I wanted to kind of talk about James 2. And as I was prepping for this and kind of reading through all of James 2, three themes really kind of stuck out to me in regards to this. I mean, clearly, once you'll see when we're jumping through verses 1 through 4 today, like, James argues against favoritism. And for the necessity of good deeds. Good deeds is brought up throughout James 2, or throughout James, honestly. And he lays out three principles of faith in this specific chapter. And the first one I wanted to kind of talk about was, he really hits, and this is, again, remember, I'm talking James 2 as a whole, not the verses we're going to end up talking about today. And the first principle is, commitment is an essential part of our faith. You cannot be a Christian simply by affirming the right doctrines or agreeing with biblical facts. And that is kind of, I kind of referenced 2:19 when it comes to that, chapter 2, verse 19. So we must commit our minds and our hearts to Jesus. It's not just the simply hearing, like, we actually have to commit to this. And the second principle that really kind of stuck out to me was, right actions are natural byproducts of true faith, meaning a genuine Christian will have a changed life and will genuinely do good things because their life has been transformed. And I say all the time, if you claim to be a Christian, got saved from some stuff, yet you're still doing all the same stuff, I would ask if you truly got saved. Because as a Christian, you should be transformed. I mean, we even, as a Vert Church, we talk, like, you know, our thing is, like, turn away from the old and towards the new. The old is all the old broken stuff that held us back, and the new is this beautiful relationship of Christ that compels us to do good, selfless things for God and for others. So that's the second principle, is right actions are a natural byproduct of a genuine faith. The third thing that really stuck out to me as I was going through all of James 2 is, faith without good deeds doesn't do anybody any good. And if I'm being honest, faith without good deeds is useless. It's pointless. There's no reason behind it. And I know some of y'all who are listening are like, whoa, I thought I was saved by my faith and faith alone. And isn't that what Paul says? And I just want to kind of bring up that James' teachings are actually consistent with Paul's teachings. There is no contradiction. James is not teaching that salvation is by our good deeds. He teaches the same exact thing, that salvation is by faith and faith alone, not by our works. But what's the difference is Paul emphasizes the purpose of faith is to bring salvation, while James emphasizes the result of faith is a changed life and good deeds. Not a contradiction. Both talking about the same things, just Paul's emphasizing one thing, James is emphasizing the other thing. So as you just wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for the next couple of weeks as we're going through James 2, but those are kind of just some of the principles that James lays out in this chapter.
Yeah.
So, and today we are going to be reading through James 2, 1 through 4.
Yeah. I love that, man. You know, because I just think of, after you kind of listen to those out, how, like, what good is our faith if we are not using it for good?
Yeah.
I mean, what good is it?
if I'm just keeping it to myself and just reading and doing my things for myself, it's like, man, first of all, I'm not doing what the Bible actually tells me to do.
Right.
It tells me to be selfless and to love my neighbor as myself. And to, I mean, that requires you to go out and, I mean, I just taught at LifePoint recently or yesterday. We're recording on a Monday, just so everybody knows. That, you know, we have to move past just having head knowledge of God, and we have to take action.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you know all these good things, like, God has called us to love Him. And then our love for Him should compel us to love others.
Amen.
And to do things for others, to put others above ourselves. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so I'm going to read James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we have a few questions just to kind of go through and answer. All right, so, my brothers, hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ without showing favoritism. For suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, dressed in fine clothes, and a poor man dressed in dirty clothes also comes in. If you look with favor on the man wearing the fine clothes, so that you say, sit here in a good place, and yet you say to the poor man, stand over there, or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Mm. What do you see there overall, Nick?
Man, that we don't get to choose who's better than others.
Yeah.
That we just can't favor somebody, especially in when I hear these verses, my mind automatically goes to church right now.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot favor people because they might tithe or bring a little more offering to your church. Because before you know it, you're compromising.
Yes.
How am I going to keep this individual happy? Mm-hmm. First of all, if that's your goal, to keep people happy because you know they are very generous in their pockets, you're missing the point. And it ain't about pleasing people. It is about bringing honor to God.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen this. I've seen preachers favor those in their congregation who can offer something financially.
Yeah.
I've seen them compromise. I've seen them do things. And while you've got other people that come through the building who are poor, mm-hmm. maybe even homeless, who just don't have as much to offer, but who are desperate for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the first thing that comes out to my mind, specifically from just reading James 1 through 4.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, same. I agree. I've definitely seen that myself in some very bad ways. Like, just a few examples. I've been to churches where they ask those who have tithed to stand up, and they honor those who have specifically given money to the church. Or, you know, the pastor may ask for a certain amount, and those people who have written checks for that certain amount, they get to come up front and are honored. And also, not only that, but those who are constantly writing those big checks, they get extra perks within the church and stuff, and within positions and power. And you hate to see that, because that's favoritism.
Yeah.
You know, as we get into this next question of just kind of like describing what favoritism is.
Yeah.
Like, that's favoritism.
Yeah. One thing real quick before we jump to that question, that's always, I forgot what church I was at. I think it might have been when I was out in San Diego, maybe Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And this pastor was talking about how they do not pass offering buckets or offering plates or anything in their church.
Yeah.
And this is pre-COVID, so it's not anything COVID related. But he laid it out as they don't do that because they don't want anybody to feel guilty.
Mm.
They don't want, because that bucket, that plate, whatever your church does, it does, when it passes through your hands, you feel guilty, like, man. And it's not I don't know how to explain that, right? But it's just weird.
Yeah.
Because somebody if it's the first time, like, what am I supposed to do with this? Yeah. Like,
it's awkward.
Or you almost, sometimes you can feel like, people are looking over their shoulder like, why is that person not putting anything in the bucket? Do they not believe in giving this or that? And if y'all listen to our podcast for a while, y'all know where we stand on the tithe.
Yes. Go back and listen if you haven't.
Yes, you'll find out quickly.
Yeah.
But I loved it because he also brought up how, again, like, they don't want to be fixated on that. If you want to give, and I mean, naturally generosity comes out of their teachings, but like, he's not doing these crazy amounts of sermons on how to give you 10%, all that. Like, he just is like, I'm preaching the gospel and things happen.
Yeah.
And he also said he has a homeless individual walk into his building who has nothing. He doesn't want that individual to have to feel automatically compelled to do that or be judged because he can't put anything in there. So I really love that. And really want to take that up at Avert, which we've talked about, I think, before too, as well as like just putting things up at the end, like at the back, if you want to give, like, hey, if you want to, if you feel God moving here and he's helped you here and you want to give back to the ministry, hey, you can give here.
Cause you shouldn't feel pressured.
No, that's not good.
Yeah. It's not good at all.
No.
Not good at all. And it should flow from your heart.
Yes. Also. Yes.
So yeah, so what is favoritism, I guess, and how do we avoid that? I know we kind of talked about it in the church sense.
Yeah, man, I think you hit it on when you were just talking about some of the things that you've seen of like how favoritism is when you start giving perks, start doing things differently for different people. I think that is, I don't know how else to explain it other than like that's really like, showing favoritism is giving somebody perks, giving someone extra attention, whatever it might be, because they have something that you deem worthy or even maybe that can help you. So that's kind of the way I look at favoritism. I don't know what the actual definition of favoritism is, though.
I don't know, but I'm sure somewhere along those
lines. Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I think of it too, just like, it's, I guess on the flip side of it, you're not giving the opposite party a fair shot at whatever it may be. You're putting this person on a pedestal and giving this person privileges. We've, in our racial repentance series, and we've talked about white privilege.
Yeah.
And what that looks like, and there's like, that can be a way of favoritism.
Yeah.
And on the opposite end of that spectrum, those who are not getting that kind of privilege are, they have less of an opportunity to get certain things like jobs and stuff. They have to do so much more to get those positions, and that's not the way it should be in God's kingdom.
No, that's not the way it is in God's kingdom.
Yeah, it's not. So
I mean, Jesus spoke pretty clearly about that a few times, actually.
Yeah.
So
how do we avoid it, though?
Love God. Man, I really do think if we are love, I'm gonna harp on this because this verse has really been speaking to me in so many different ways here recently. Which is Mark 12, verses 29 through 31, where Jesus is laying out the most important commandment is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul.
Yeah.
And when we're doing that, I think naturally you won't show favoritism. You will love people the way God loves them.
Yeah.
Because you have completely put God where he belongs in your life. Yeah. And out of that, everything else flows out properly. Because I think I said yesterday when I was preaching, it's like, then when you're doing that, the fruits of the Spirit come about.
Yeah.
And favoritism is not a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
But being selfless, being patient with others. I mean, those are the kind of things that come from that. So I think it really is a heart check thing.
Yeah.
Making sure that God is your first priority. If you're going to show favoritism anyway, please make it the Lord. Favor him over your family, over everything else, because he is the ultimate source of your life. And he is the one who can, I think what Jesus says, that don't fear man, fear God, who can take both, kill you and your soul.
Yes.
So just come to the Lord and love him. And I think when you do that properly, it will help you avoid the pitfalls of having favoritism. And Well, even maybe you are showing favoritism, and then you're like, man, I do got to, I'm going to put my priorities in order with God. And all of a sudden you get convicted because you realize you've been showing favoritism.
Right.
Maybe not even intentionally, unintentionally, you've been showing favoritism to certain people because, again, maybe they brought something to the table that you valued. Mm-hmm. Yet somebody else over here didn't bring anything to the table, but they needed to hear the same thing that you told this individual. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's kind of the way, one of the ways that we can really avoid favoritism. I mean, it sounds cliche, but I mean, it's the truth.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. I think you hit it on the head too, just talking about how, I guess, the person who is showing favoritism, like, there is like a root there of you doing it because that other person benefits you in some kind of way. And so you're specifically singling out this person so that you can get something in return.
Yep.
And that's not the way it should be.
No.
Not at all. So, yeah. So I know, like, in this scripture, so it uses the term favoritism. I know in the Hallman Christian Standards version, it uses partiality in some other versions. Mm-hmm. But it also uses this other term of discrimination or discriminated among yourselves. And, you know, I'm sorry we don't have our dictionaries out, but I do think there is a bit of distinction between favoritism and discrimination.
Yes.
So Nick, do you have anything like on like how, what specifically discrimination is, like the difference between them and favoritism?
Yeah. So my header for James 2 is actually a warning against prejudice.
Mm.
But it uses the same word, discrimination. So the difference between favoritism and discrimination is favoritism can be unintentional sometimes. Yeah. Discrimination is completely intentional.
Yeah.
You are intentionally discriminating or thinking less than of somebody. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident. You see them and you're like, oh, they're less than.
Yeah.
They can't do this. They can't do that. They need to stay where they are. They're not allowed here. Right. Stuff like it's an intentional. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest difference between favoritism and discrimination is it's favoritism can be intentional sometimes, but more or less, I think it's unintentional.
Yeah.
Discrimination, there's no unintentional. It's it's intentional.
Right.
And it's intentional and it's oppressive. Mm. And discrimination turns into silencing voices. It turns into just turns into a lot of ugly things that are not of God.
Absolutely.
And I praise God that he did not discriminate against his own creation and hold us back, that he made a way for us.
Amen.
So
amen.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I like how you said that. And, you know, it links it here in verse 4. It said, having you discriminated among yourselves and become judges.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think so often, you know, we judge people by their outward appearance and by what they have. You know, it talked about how in this scripture, meeting a person with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes versus a poor man dressed in dirty clothes. And so that's like outward.
Yeah,
those are outward things that we judge, that we so often judge people by, and I think that's part of the reason in some of the ways where you see racism come into play. But even more so, just the everyday of just discriminating against people, thinking less than of people who don't look like they belong.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that we all can kind of fall into those pitfalls.
Yeah.
Like, I can admit that I've definitely fallen into those pitfalls and things and stuff. So, it's easy to fall into, but, you know, like we always say, like, our duty as Christians is to love God and love others.
Yeah.
Jesus died for everybody.
Yeah.
And so we have to treat everyone like children of God.
Yeah.
And like creations of God.
Yep.
And treat them with love and not discriminate by putting one above the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not easy.
It's not easy at all.
And I think it's not easy for us either to admit to ourselves when we have discriminated against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a time where I have in the past. I'm sure that there's definitely an instance where I've discriminated against somebody. But honestly, I think one of the things that helped me, which we'll probably lean into more next week on our, when we're getting through 5, but like, working with the homeless population really helped remove so many preconceived notions that I had and discriminations that I had against some homeless people and like why they were homeless and all that. And then, man, it was just probably the most eye-opening thing that I've ever experienced, and God used it in a mighty way to where it completely transformed the way I see things.
Right.
Which we'll dig into a little more next week, because I have a lot to say about that.
Absolutely, man. All right, so I want to kind of close out on this. You know, to speak into the poor, you know, not saying that we have anybody that is poor that is to us, I don't know. But just like the hope that is found for those who are poor, who cling and persevere in the faith. Like, is the reward in heaven greater for the poor who persevere in faith?
Yeah, where's that verse? I'm looking for a verse, but I mean, Jesus addresses this very question you just asked.
Yeah.
But essentially, I'm just going to paraphrase, where Jesus is basically like, the rich now have, they've got everything they're ever going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard for them. I mean, they're just, because they have riches here does not mean they're going to have riches in kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And I really had like some of my son is in here with us, guys. He just interrupted our podcast to ask me if I could buy him another game on my phone. Just say hi to the world, Luke. Say hi. You're not going to say anything now? You just interrupted?
Hi.
Oh. I think, honestly, the poor will have more in heaven because they understand the lack of what they have here and the need of salvation. I mean, pride is a big thing when it comes to people who have riches now. Not all.
Right.
I mean, we know some very wealthy people who are very generous.
Yeah.
But they're able to do it without pride and all that because they have their God in the right place where they love the Lord of all their mind, heart, soul, and strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I really addressed the question. But
Yeah, no, I think we see it a lot and what Jesus was kind of like honing in on in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about getting to the heart of the issues of things and even almost basically saying that riches are an obstacle in faith. And that they can be. And so I think for the poor, those who actually persevere in the faith and those who actually cling on to the truths of Jesus will be rewarded in heaven greatly because they persevered without having anything to look forward to here on earth. Yeah.
Amen.
All right, guys. Just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and or Google Play. Please leave a rating and or review. And don't forget, if you have any questions, we will have responses.
Amen.
For you guys. So you can send those questions to nick@avertchurch.com, whether it's audio, text, whatever.
Yep.
We can plug the audio in, no problem. So.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Talk to you guys on Wednesday.
See you.
Peace.